Going back to the Gospel of John for our study tonight, the Gospel of John chapter 5, begin our reading at verse 24. Gospel of John chapter 5, beginning our reading at verse 24. The context of this reading actually picks up back in the earlier part of chapter 5 in our reading this evening. Jesus is in the city of Jerusalem. He has performed a miracle, and he has performed this miracle on the Sabbath day. And because of that, the Jews, the Pharisees, seek to kill him because of that, because he's violated the Sabbath day. But they also seek to kill him because he makes himself out to be equal with God when he calls God his Father. And he says, well, my Father works and I work. And in the context, God raises the dead and the Son raises the dead. And so in our reading, picks up at verse 24, where we ended at verse 23, John 5, verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. A casual reading of this text, John 5, 24 through verse 30, might lead one to believe that Jesus speaks only of one resurrection, that is, the general resurrection of the dead with the judgment to follow. But fact is, Jesus is actually speaking of two resurrections in this text. Two resurrections. Verse 24 and 25 speaks of one resurrection, and then verse 28 and 29 speak of another resurrection. In our study tonight, we're going to look at this text in order to see the clear difference between these two resurrections, and we're going to do that by looking at four things regarding each one of the resurrections. Want to note the time of the resurrection, the nature of the resurrection, the power of the resurrection, and the participants in each resurrection. When we look at those four things, we'll be able to see a distinction that is actually being made in the context in regard to these two resurrections. First of all, let's note the resurrection that is mentioned in verse 24 and 25, and the time of this resurrection. The time of this resurrection is mentioned in verse 25 when he says, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. Note the time reference. I say to you, the hour is coming and now is. That's an oxymoron. The hour is coming, that is future. But he says that it is now is. That is, the hour or the time is present. Jesus said the time of this resurrection under consideration is already here. It is the present or the gospel age time that is under consideration. The time of this resurrection, you might say, was at hand. That's the time of the resurrection in verse 24 and 25. Consider now the nature of this resurrection. What kind of resurrection is it? We have some indication in the text, verse 24 and 25. In verse 25, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. The dead will live. But in verse 24, it said of those who are dead, that if they hear his words and believe in him who sent him, they will have everlasting life, and it will pass from death into life. So the death under consideration is a spiritual death. The resurrection itself is a spiritual resurrection, not a resurrection of physical death, a resurrection from physical death, but a resurrection from spiritual death. It is the resurrection of the soul, you might say, from the tomb of sin. The dead in trespasses and sins are the ones who are raised in this context. We see this often spoken of in the New Testament, Romans 6 and in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we, note this, who died to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that is, into our own death to sin, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There's a resurrection from the dead. One dies to sin in baptism. He's raised to walk in newness of life. Newness of life is a new state of life, new quality of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that is, put to death with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. The one who has died to sin in baptism has been freed or liberated from sin. Sometimes we hear people say, well, one dies to sin in repentance. Verse 7 of Romans 6 denies that. For he who has died has been freed from sin. We die to sin in baptism. We're raised to walk in newness of life. He who has died, when does one die to sin? Paul says he dies to sin in baptism. And when he dies to sin in baptism, he's raised to walk in newness of life, he is also freed or liberated from his sin. So that which frees and liberates us from our sin, obedience in baptism for the remission of our sins, comes about when we have died to sin in that baptism. Romans 6 and verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise you also, you died to sin once in baptism. You ought to be like Christ. He lives to God forever. Likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the resurrection in John 5, verse 24 and 25 is a spiritual resurrection. A resurrection from our spiritual death because we're dead in our sins. Paul speaks of the Ephesians being dead in sin in Ephesians 2 and in verse 1 and following, where he said, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. They were spiritually dead. But now they've been made alive. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power there, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, spiritually dead, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We've been raised up with Christ. Raised up with Him from baptism. Made to sit in heavenly places, that in the heavenly regions in Christ Jesus. So the nature of the resurrection and verses 24 and 25 is a spiritual resurrection of the soul from the tomb of sin. Then we know the power of this resurrection. What is the power that brings about this resurrection of the spiritually dead? We know that mentioned in the text in John 5 and in verse 25 again. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will, note this, will hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear will live. It is the voice of the Son of God. The voice, of course, in the context has reference to the Word. To the gospel of Jesus Christ. John 5 and in verse 24, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and it shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Passed from spiritual death to spiritual life. By what power? By the word of God. By the word of Jesus Christ. By the gospel of Jesus Christ. The voice, the Son of God. The word of God. It is the Word of God that produces life in those who are spiritually dead. Luke 8 in verse 11, now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. The Word of God produces life in one. In John 6 and in verse 63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. They're spiritual words and they're intended to bring about spiritual life. So the power of this resurrection in verse 24 and 25 is the Word of God itself. It brings about a spiritual resurrection from the dead. Well, who are the participants in this resurrection in verse 24 and 25? The participants are mentioned in verse 24 and 25 of the text. We begin with verse 25 again. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is. When the dead, here's the participants, when the dead, the spiritually dead, will hear the voice of the Son of God, when they hear the Word of God, and those who hear will live. Those who hear will live. Get that? Those who hear the Word of God will live. They'll live spiritually. Verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. But there's something we need to note about the word hear and hears in these verses. The word here carries the idea of obey. Note again in verse 25, the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. The voice, of course, refers back in the context of the Word of God. It's not that they'll just hear the Word of God, because many people hear, audibly hear the Word of God, but they're not saved spiritually. They're not brought to spiritual life just by audibly hearing. The word hear and hears here carries with it the ideal of obey. When the dead hear the voice of the Son of God, when they obey the voice of the Son of God, and those who obey will live. That's the idea. Same thing in verse 24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word, he who obeys my word and believes in him who has sent me has everlasting life. It's not the one who just hears the audible words. It's the one who hears and obeys. So the idea of obedience is in the word hear, hear. We saw that this morning in our lesson. Oftentimes the word hear is used in the New Testament to have reference to obedience. In Mark 4 and in verse 9, a statement that we used this morning from another place in the Scripture. And Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. What does it mean? He who has ears to hear. Everybody has ears for the purpose of hearing, but some people will not hear for the purpose of obeying. He who has ears to hear. Let him obey. That's the idea. Because we're given ears to hear, not just to be able to hear the audible sound of words, but to give attention to that which we hear. That is, to obey that which we hear. So the one who has ears to hear. Let him obey what he hears. We see it used that way several times in the Scripture. Mark 4 and verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground, and those who hear the word, that is, those who obey the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. Again, just the audible hearing of the word does not produce fruit in one's life. It's the obedience of the word that produces fruit, and it is the obedience of the word of God that brings about spiritual life, that brings about this spiritual resurrection under consideration. Remember what Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my word has that which judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him on the last day. He who rejects me and does not receive my word does not believe and obey my word. That's the idea in the word receive. Because many people receive the word audibly, they hear it audibly, but they'll not believe it and obey it. So we see that this resurrection is not a general resurrection of the dead. It's a spiritual resurrection of those who are spiritually dead in sin. And it is conditional. It is conditional. Mark 16 and verse 15, Jesus told his apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who believes and obeys will be saved. The hearing of the gospel in itself is not enough. The one who hears the gospel, believes it to the point of obedience, will be saved. Those who participate in this spiritual resurrection are raised with Christ. Colossians 3 and in verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. If, that little word if there in Colossians 3 and verse 1 doesn't carry the ideal of doubt. Paul is writing to Christians. Since then you were raised with Christ. When were they raised with Christ? They were raised with Christ from the watery grave of baptism. Since then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Those who partake of this resurrection are also sitting in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse 6 we read a few moments ago, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places, that is in the heavenly regions, in Christ Jesus. And thus we walk in newness of life, Romans 6 and verse 4. Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that is into our own death of sin. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We're also raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. We're raised from spiritual death. And that is the resurrection under consideration in John 5, verse 24 and 25. Now let's look at the resurrection mentioned in verse 28 and 29 of our text, and note that it is a different kind of resurrection under consideration. In regard to the time of the resurrection in this text, we see it mentioned in John 5 and in verse 28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear His voice. Note this, the hour is coming, future tense. The time of this resurrection is not in the present, as it was back in John 5 and in verse 25, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is. That is, at that present time, one had the ability to be able to participate in the spiritual resurrection from the dead. But this resurrection under consideration is coming. It's in the future. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming. The hour is coming indeed. This resurrection takes place at the close of the gospel dispensation. That is, when God brings all things to an end. No one can come to me, Jesus said, unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's when this resurrection is coming, at the last day. That's the time of this resurrection. The nature of this resurrection, of course, is not a spiritual resurrection, but it is a physical resurrection from the dead, from physical death. John 5 and in verse 28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth. All who are in the grave, that is those who are physically dead, they're going to hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth. Those who are in the grave, the resurrection of the body, the physical body of one who is in the grave is under consideration. Either that is the case or that else there is no victory of this body over death. But we know that there will be victory over death when the resurrection comes. as Paul declares in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 35 regarding the fashion of the resurrection body. He says, but someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. It's like a seed. The seed rots, it decays, it dies, so to speak, but it is made alive. And what you sow, verse 37, 1 Corinthians 15, what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as He pleases, and to each seed its own body. We don't plant a corn stalk, no, we plant a seed of corn. And that seed produces a body, it produces a stalk of corn we refer to it as. We plant a tomato seed, it rots and decays, but it produces a body from that, a tomato plant. So God gives it a body as He pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is the other. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. What's Paul's point? Paul's point is that our bodies will be much different from the bodies that we now have. So also is the resurrection of the dead, he says. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have bore the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. The nature of the resurrection is a physical resurrection from the dead. But we'll not be raised with a physical body, we'll be raised with a spiritual body. What's that going to look like? We have no idea. But indeed, it will be a body that is fitted to live throughout eternity in heaven. The power that is going to bring about this resurrection is mentioned in our text as well. Verse 28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave, note this, will hear His voice. Will hear His voice. They will obey His voice. They will indeed hear an audible sound of His voice. What's it going to sound like? Well, we're told in 1 Thessalonians 4 and in verse 16 that the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of an archangel. What kind of voice is that? Evidently a very loud voice. With the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So the power of this resurrection is the voice of the Son of God. Who's going to participate in this resurrection? Well, the participation in this resurrection is going to be much different than the participation in the previous resurrection that we looked at. Because the participants in the previous resurrection we looked at had to meet certain conditions. But there are no conditions upon the participants in this resurrection. The participants of this resurrection includes all. Verse 28, John 5, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth. All, not just those who hear with the intention of obeying, because here they're not given a choice. In the resurrection that we noted earlier in verse 24 and verse 25, the hearers are actually active in their resurrection from spiritual death. John 5 and in verse 24 again, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears or obeys my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life." They're active in bringing about their spiritual resurrection. But all who are in the grave are inactive. They're passive. There's nothing that they need to do to bring about their resurrection. All who are in the grave will hear his voice, note this, and come forth. We'll have no choice in the matter. In the spiritual resurrection, we're given a choice. We can hear and obey and believe the word of God and remain in spiritual life as we continue to hear, believe, and obey. Or if we want to remain spiritually dead, spiritually separated from God, we refuse to hear, believe, and obey. But in the physical resurrection, all will hear his voice and come forth. Acts 24 and in verse 15, "I have hope in God," Paul says, "which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." This resurrection is going to include all those who are just and righteous in the sight of God and those who are unrighteous in the sight of God. All men will be resurrected. Revelation 20 and in verse 11, John said, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it." Note that. "The sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged each according to his own works." Some will say, perhaps, "Well, I'm going to stay in the grave. I'm not going to appear before God in the judgment." No, won't have a choice. You'll hear the voice of the Son of God and you will come forth. Death and Hades will deliver up the dead who is in them. The sea will deliver up the dead who is in them. There will be no choice. There will be no condition based upon this resurrection. This resurrection will be unconditional. It will be universal. And it will be simultaneous. That is, the righteous and the unrighteous will all be raised at one time. All at the same time. Those who are resurrected, of course, will be divided into two groups. Verse 29, "And come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." You might say, here's the right hand and the left hand. The great separation of man before God. Those who have done good, agathos, those who have engaged in that which is right, beneficial, virtuous, advantageous, profitable, in the sight of God, will receive a resurrection of life, eternal life. But those who've done evil to a resurrection of condemnation, eternal damnation from God. With this resurrection, then, comes the judgment. As Jesus said in our text, in verse 26 of John 5, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." The Father has the ability to give life. Remember the context. Jesus is being condemned by the Pharisees of his day because he's performed a miracle on the Sabbath day.
Not only that, he has made himself equal with God because he called God his Father. He said, "My Father works, and so I work." He indeed showed himself to be equal with God. As a father has the ability to give life, the Father has granted the Son the ability to give life. And he has given him authority to execute judgment also. So as God can execute judgment, God the Father has not only given him the ability to give life, but he's given him the ability to carry out and execute judgment. John 5 and in verse 30, "I cannot myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Paul said in Acts 17 and verse 30, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked." That is, he looked beyond. That's the idea in the word overlooked here. King James Version uses the phrase "winked at," as if he didn't pay much attention to the sins of the past. But there's no evidence of that in the Scripture at all. God always condemns sin. Sometime he destroyed nations. He destroyed his own people sometimes because of their sins. So he didn't wink at it in the sense of just letting it go. No, these times of ignorance that the Gentiles served idols, he overlooked. He looked beyond to a time in which he now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he's given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. As I said a few moments ago, this is the great divide as we stand before God in the judgment in Matthew 25 and verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.' But those who sat on the left, he will say, 'Depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Are you going to be a part of the pleasant resurrection of the body if you're dead when the Christ appears? Or are you going to be part of this group that is made up of those who are on the right hand if you're still alive? We're either going to be one or the other. We're either going to be dead and resurrected from the dead, or we're going to be alive and we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we'll all stand before God in the judgment. Whether we're raised from the dead physically or whether we're changed, we'll all still appear before God in the judgment. The big question is, of which group will you be a part of? The answer to that is determined by whether you want to be a part of those who make up those who are resurrected from the spiritual tomb of sin. Have you been resurrected from spiritual death in baptism? That is, have you died to sin in baptism? Put that old man of sin to death? Been raised to walk in newness of life? If you have, you have a greater possibility of being among those who are on the right hand. But if you've not done that at all, and the Lord comes tonight or tomorrow, we'll certainly be on the left hand if we're of that group. We will give an account of ourselves, of all the things done in the body according to what we have done, whether good or whether bad, 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 10. That's the lesson this evening, the two resurrections. If you haven't taken part in the first resurrection in our text, that is a spiritual resurrection from the dead, being spiritually dead in sin, you need to do that this hour. Confess your faith in Christ, submit to water baptism for the remission of your sins. If you've done that in times past, and as a child of God you have sin in your life, correct it before it's too late. Repent of it. Acknowledge your sin. Ask God to forgive you of it, and we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.